Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. One of the great passages in the Bible. And the last part of verse 5, I'm telling you, you can really appreciate what the Lord's giving you here. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's a tremendous passage of Scripture. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a tremendous passage of Scripture. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll glean some things from the passage that will be helpful for us tonight. Father, we're very thankful to be able to bow before your throne tonight. And Lord, we do so out of fear and out of reverence and out of honor for you. But we also do it out of absolute necessity. Lord, we are faced with the task when we open the Bible to preach the Word of God and deliver the message that you have for the folks that have come tonight. There's nobody in the universe that can do this without you, and there's nobody that can do it but you. And so I pray tonight, Father, that you will fill me with your Holy Spirit, that tonight in the preaching of the Word of God, the thoughts that come to mind are the ones that you desire to be repeated. Father, if there's anything that comes to mind outside of the notes that seems to need to be said and it doesn't need to be said, we pray, Father, you'll withhold it so that only those things that expound the text, that help our folks, will be said. And I pray, Lord, it'll truly be helpful and glorifying to you, and that your word will be properly magnified. Thank you for the kids and all the people that help with Bible clubs. And Lord, it is so valuable. There's such an investment being made in the children's lives, memorizing verses and learning Bible and preparing for life. Thank you for those who diligently work to make that happen. I'm so thankful, Lord, to see what we've seen tonight. We pray you'll continue to help our children grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask you to do all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this is one of the greatest promises in the Bible that you're reading here. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And when you look at the context of the verse, what goes on in the first part of verse 5 and what goes on in verse 6, you'll see some things that God's promise really helps us with. Some areas of our lives where we deal with problems. The Lord's abiding presence, when he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, he's telling you, I'm going to be with you every step of the way. That abiding presence solves some problems. And the first thing is, it is a solution for covetousness. He says in verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Without covetousness. Now, the problem with covetousness is this. Do you know what it is? You know, we've heard enough about it that everybody here probably should know what it is, but covetousness just means that I want more than what I have, or I want something that I don't have, and I want it bad enough that I'm beginning to magnify it in my life. And the Bible tells us covetousness is idolatry. In other words, in the Bible, we know that we're not to have any other God before us besides the Lord God. And when he says to you, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, he's saying, listen, you got all a man could ever want, or you have all that a woman could ever want when you've got me, and I will never leave thee. We have a song in our hymn book. It's hymn number 470. And that hymn title is, Jesus is all the world to me. And so what happens when Jesus Christ is magnified to his proper place in our lives, it's like, what else could you want? What else could you need? The Lord tells us in Luke chapter 12, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. But somehow or another, when we live in the world, we get the idea that we don't have all that we need and certainly all that we want. There seems to always be something. But there is no greater possession than the Lord Jesus Christ. When you have Him, you don't need anything else. Now here's the thing about that. When He says, let your conversation be without covetousness. You know what happens to people when they're young and when they're old, if they haven't learned this by the time they're old? When they're young, it's you watch how this goes. You finish a stage of life and then you say, now I need, okay, I need a good school. After school, I need a good job. After getting the job, I need a husband. After that, I need a baby. After that, I need to own my own house. After that, I need a... You see how it goes? That's the progress of life. And what happens in that process is that there's always something more than what you currently have. You get the good job, you get the house, you get the car, you get the babies, you get the husband or the wife, and then I need a retirement account. There's always something else out there. And what happens is that all of that overshadows what you currently have. And if you and I would just realize what great possession we currently have in a God who says to us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, it'll change your life. Absolutely change your life. If you could just come to the realization, I've got Jesus and Jesus has me. What a possession. What a gift of God. It's not, I want all these things that, oh yeah, I've got Jesus too. It's like, I've got Jesus and I got all I need. So the Lord's abiding presence with us is the solution for covetousness. He becomes what we worship, and nothing else becomes an idol in our lives. The Lord's abiding presence with us is also the solution for, and this is real closely connected with what we've already said, discontentment. Look at verse 5 again. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. In other words, once you realize that all you that you have Jesus and that He's all you ever needed, then you can look at what you do have in addition to Him and say, man, I am wealthy to have what I have. Be content with such things as you have. That means if you don't have much, be content with that. Solomon said, a dry morsel with quietness is better than a house full of sacrifices with strife. But at the same time, if you have a lot, and some folks are blessed with not much. And I say it's a blessing because I can remember Brother Dickman telling me, he said, you know, the Lord never gave me much money. And he said, and I now know why. It would have ruined me. Well, that's good then. All right, so if you don't have much, be content with a little. Solomon said what he said, but if you have a lot, be content with that. Paul said, I know how to abound. And in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You see, the problem, and Solomon knew this, the problem is, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. And he that loveth abundance with increase. It's never enough. And so what it does is it breeds a discontentment. You say, I've got a house, but my neighbor has one that's bigger and better than mine. I sure wish I had his. and now suddenly you don't like what you have. I love that illustration that Brother Simish gave when he was here about having something of great value in your possession and seeing something else that you suddenly value more. And what happens is this thing that you have that's valuable begins to decrease in value as you place more value on this other thing And now you become discontent with what you have because it doesn't seem to have much value. And your thought is, if I could just have this other thing that I now value so much, I would be content. You won't be. You won't be, because the problem is you're discontent. And you've allowed something of great value to be reduced in value as the result of that. Paul said, godliness with contentment is great gain. And Paul knew. Paul had been abased, and he said, I learned how to be content with that. Paul abounded, and he said, and I learned how to be content with that. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And concluded, godliness with contentment is great gain. Do you understand that if tonight you could realize how great the possession of Jesus Christ is in your life, and if you would allow His presence in your life to address the discontentment in your life, you wouldn't be discontent with anything. He gives you Himself. And that's just what you need. Do you realize with Jesus Christ comes peace? With Jesus Christ comes joy? With Jesus Christ comes love? With Jesus Christ comes power? With Jesus Christ comes understanding and wisdom? With Jesus Christ comes righteousness? None of these things can be bought. There is no price tag on those things. And those are the things that are of great value. I have had the opportunity to be with people in so many different times of their lives. When they're married, the only day for the rest of their lives they're happy. I mean, even before the honeymoon is over, it's like, oh, wow. Of course, you know, I'm being just partially truthful there. Now, I've been also with them when they're in deep, deep grief after the loss of a loved one, and in all places in between. And you have too, but in the ministry, you know, you walk through some of that with them. The people who do the best in all of those circumstances are the people who are exceedingly content with Jesus Christ. That you can take to the bank, and there is no amount of money that can offset or compare to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. That is a fabulous promise right there. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But you know something? It's also the solution for loneliness. Look again in verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetous. Be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That you know what that means? You will never be alone. Ever. Ever. You could be shipwrecked and the only survivor floating on a raft out in the middle of nowhere, and you're not alone. Now, you will feel like you are, but there are people who go through something called separation anxiety when they suddenly find that everybody is gone. You know, you'll feel it sometimes when you'll feel it, like, for instance, you've had your children at home with you, and then all of a sudden somebody in your family leaves to go to school, or leaves to go take a job in another city, or leaves to be married and go live with his or her spouse. And you're like, oh, man. And you feel this grief, this thing that comes over you. Well, maybe a grief. You might be going, whew, finally. Thank God that's done. But sometimes you feel what you feel is you feel like a loss, like a grief. That's that anxiety that comes with being separated from people that you love. And it has a tendency to cause some people literally to freak out. I'm not talking just about children that are left in the nursery. Well, I've heard that, you know, they drop off and, man, you think the end of the world has just come for that kid. No, I mean that you get older, and there's a day when you are at home and nobody else is there, and you're like, what am I going to do? I'm all alone. When you have Jesus, you're never alone. We have a song in the hymn book, 281. You know what it's called? Never Alone. That song takes forever to sing, too. Have you ever noticed that? That's why we don't sing it very much. You've got four verses, and then the chorus is as long as the verse. It's like singing the song through eight times. No, never alone. I mean, by the time you get over with it, you're like, you know, I wouldn't mind being alone for a little while. It's taken me forever to sing this song. But you know something? The song, the words of the song are a reminder to you. When you sense, oh my goodness, I am alone. I need somebody. I need a companion. I need a friend. I need a spouse. I need my parents to come home. I need to be around friends. I got to go somewhere so I can be with friends. You have missed out on this verse. You are not alone. In verse 6 he says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. You know what this verse is? This promise, I will never leave thee, is? It is a solution for ineptitude. Have you ever felt like you've been given a task that you really couldn't do? That was bigger than you? That was a great challenge? Like, oh boy, I might really mess up here? No matter what you have to do, or no matter what the Lord gives you to do, listen, He is there to help you. I'm the kind of person, when I learn something, depending on what it is, sometimes I learn by auditory. In other words, I can sit where you are and hear somebody tell me, and I learn it that way. Sometimes I have to be shown. I'm more visual. Like, for instance, I knew nothing when I went to Bible college about working on a car. I knew nothing about how to change the oil. I'd always driven a company car, and somebody always did that for me. I knew there were two dipsticks under the hood. One of them was for transmission. One of them was for oil. I had no idea which was which. Somebody else always checked the oil for me. Now, I know that sounds funny, but I was in the banking business. And when I was young, I drove the pool car. And then, you know, get to be the president and they give you a car. Somebody just takes care of that for you. Now, suddenly, I am in school with no money in an old used car. And there were a lot of things I had to learn. And so when Dan Hemkin started coming over to the house to change my oil for me, I said, you know, this is something that I really had to pay somebody to do it. I didn't know what to do. It's something I really ought to learn. And he pulled out this contraption that ratcheted down on the filter to loosen it and taught me about the gasket and how you drain it all out. And the oil all over my clothes in the driveway. I missed the bucket, you know, and all those funny. Bobby's a mechanic, and I know this sounds real funny. You can't even imagine what it's like for somebody to go back to this stage of life. But you know something? I learned by hands-on. Now, I've run this rabbit trail way out. You can't even remember what the message is about. I've got going so far away. What I'm trying to tell you was I was absolutely inept at anything that involved a screwdriver, a ratcheting wrench, a socket, you know, or oil. By the time I graduated, got ready to graduate from Bible college, and had driven that Suburban that I had taken such good care of, I changed the transmission fluid, I changed the timing belt, I changed the alternator and the battery and the water pump and the oil. I mean, he showed me and taught me how to do this. She had a head-on collision with a Firebird. Totally inept. And for $1,500, I got that thing running again. Now, mind you, it turned right, like right here. And it turned left, like in a block. But it was running. It was running. And it ran, but I was totally inept. Now, listen, what's the point? The point of this is it was not a greater challenge than what I could handle, because God was with me. He knew we didn't have two nickels to rub together, and I had to learn how to do that. I had to. And it worked. You know, it was really something. I'll tell you what, the Lord will help you no matter what challenge you face in life. He's there. He is absolutely there. You know what he said? And we need to really realize this. He said, without me, you can do nothing. That, you know what that means? That means you are inept at everything, even though you may have an education and now you've been hired to teach somebody. You don't know what you're doing. Until you recognize that you've got God, and then he says, without me, you can do nothing. But he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And you can get up and just go do what needs to be done that he's given you to do. And that's a tremendous, tremendous comfort. And then I'll show one more thing. The Lord's abiding presence with us is the solution for fear. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, you've heard me say this, I guess, numerous times, but we're going to say it again. The world is out to scare you. That's the way the news is sensationalized, to get an emotional reaction, and the easiest emotional reaction to get is fear. All right, right now the stock market is doing well. I can assure you, at some point in the future, I have no idea when, it's not going to be doing well. And they'll call it a correction or a crash, but it won't be doing well. And you know, so right now, you're scared to have it in there because it might go down, and when it happens, you're scared because you're going to think the world's going to come to an end. And they're talking about North Korea going to shoot a nuclear thing over here. They're not going to aim at Corpus Christi, more than likely. You say, what? There are a lot of other choices, right?
Robstown.
Yeah, Robstown, for sure, buddy. Robstown, yeah. The main target. And you hear that, and you hear, you know, terrorism and all that stuff. And you know, they came after the last president, now they're coming after this president, and it's just going to keep on. And you know what? So what? Big deal. Why? I have God. And he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There is absolutely no reason to get up in arms about anything or to worry about anything. I want to ask you something. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Absolutely not. Does he not know you by name? Absolutely, he knows you by name. Is he not your father? And those of us who are fathers, do we not know what it is to care for our children and do absolutely anything for them that we need, that they would need us to do and be their ultimate protector? Well, he's that times a million. I mean, honestly, for us to worry is for us to mock God. Is to say, well, we don't really believe you're as big and as powerful as you say you are. But when we say, you know what, I'm not worried about this, I'm going to give this to you, and you got it, then he's got everything you need. And while he's while he's working out the details that might otherwise scare you, while all of that is on hold and you don't know the status or the outcome of the thing God's working on, he gives you peace that passeth all understanding to keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus so that you can just chill out until he gets it done. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a promise. What an absolute golden promise. It covers everything. And he even gave us in the context some of the most important things in our lives that give us concern. You don't have anything to worry about. We're fine. And thank God for it. Amen. Father, we're sure thankful tonight for the encouragement you give us in the words of God. Help us to live on these words and live by these words for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.